Hi, welcome to episode 451 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott, and only 22 months to go before the release of the movie Fant4Stick 2, June 2017. Mark your calendars! I can't wait! Today, the 451st issue of the Fantastic Four, it's Fantastic Four, Volume 3, Number 22, from October 1999. Lost Hope by Chris Claremont and Salvador La Roca. We open our story with Reed Richards in his lab, drinking a cup of coffee, and trying to decide what to do about Valeria Von Doom, the girl from the future, who claims to be the daughter of Reed's wife and his greatest enemy, Sue Richards, and Dr. Doom. I say stick her ass on the time machine and send her back to the crazy, unlikely future she came from. Sue comes in, and for some reason, we can blame the colorist, a guy named Liquid. Of course, whenever I notice a coloring mistake, the dude is always using some kind of fake alias. For some reason, Sue's hair is red, which must be really confusing for Ben and Johnny, who have both had the hots for Sue's virtual twin, the red-haired Alicia. Sue seems convinced that Valeria is there as some sort of fiendish plot by Dr. Doom to torture the Fantastic Four. Actually, she's there as part of some fiendish plot by Chris Claremont to torture the Fantastic Four's readers. Reed has run some scans on her and determined that Valeria is a real human, but thanks to some pesky cosmic radiation, he's having a hard time coming up with a DNA match with Sue. Of course, the presence of cosmic radiation is kind of proof right there that they're related. Plus, she kind of looks like a young Sue, which must really be confusing for Reed, who probably wants to get all Woody Allen on her ass. Reed says her radiation patterns are similar to the patterns they found in Sue's daughter, who died when Sue had a miscarriage back in issue 267. Sue, back to being a blonde all of a sudden, is convinced anyway that Valeria is a fake. She even calls her a monster. And then she says, "If I had my way, if there were any real justice in the world, I'd consign her to the same hell reserved for her so-called father." Which is ironic, because in the last issue, the FF rescued Valeria from hell. But oops, Sue just pulled an Ally McBeal, because guess who's standing behind Sue the entire time listening? Yes, Valeria, who is now crying, and she runs off, saying that she wishes she had never been born. And for once, I agree with her. Reed chases after her, but Valeria gets away fast. Nearby, at Raglan's Coffee House and Law Library. Yes, it's a place where you can get coffee and read law books. I've always wanted to open a combination of a coffee house and a comic book store, but I really don't like coffee, and I'm pretty uncomfortable in comic book stores. So at this coffee house slash law library, we find Jennifer Walters, the She-Hulk, all dressed up nice and stuff, and out of nowhere, Titania shows up and they start fighting. And then they bust through the wall and they land on the street, and Titania's boyfriend is there, the Absorbing Man, and he smacks She-Hulk with that metal ball on a chain he has, and they end up beating her into unconsciousness. Meanwhile, over on the Lower East Side, Ben Grimm and Bounty, you know, the bounty hunter, are having beers at a local pub, a pretty nice pub, a bar filled with yuppies. Bounty is totally into Ben, making goo-goo eyes at him and saying that she adores him. And she's serious. And Ben says the feeling ain't mutual. This makes no sense. She's a good-looking woman, and he's an ugly pile of rocks. He's going to turn down an attractive woman? Why would he do that? What is he gay? Oh, shit. I forgot. I'm talking about Ben Grimm. Of course he turns down an attractive woman. She says they're fated to be together, and he calls her a nutcase. And I have to agree with him. Just then, a group of robbers with guns, they come into the bar to rob it. What a coincidence that of all the bars in New York City, they choose to rob this one. Would comic book stories even exist without these kinds of coincidences all the time? The robbers tell everyone not to move. They want what's in the cash register, and they want the wallets and the watches and the jewelry of everyone in the bar. Bounty comes over and calls them greedy and pulls out her gun. Ben makes his presence known, and we don't even get to see any clobbering, but on the next panel, the robbers are being led away in handcuffs. Ben gets a ring on his cell phone. Finally, are we done with those stupid FF flares? And it's Reed Richards telling him that Valeria has run away. And guess what? They want to find her! Why would they want to do that? So next, we see Valeria is taking a ride on the subway, and she's lost in thought, thinking about her life. And it seems that she had a happy childhood, being raised by Victor Von Doom and his wife, Susan Storm Richards Von Doom. She loved her mother, but after what she just heard her mother saying, she feels shattered. At the age of 12, she started training to be the heir to Dr. Doom. At the same time, we see Susan Richards of 1999 walking around, lost in thoughts of her own, thinking about what a giant dick Dr. Doom has been to her and her family, and about how happy she was to get pregnant and how devastated she was when she lost the baby. We see Sue crying, holding the death certificate for her dead baby, and the name they would have given her was Valerie Megan Richards. And with Valerie being so similar to Valeria, I guess it's really creeping her out. So Valeria ends up at the Latverian embassy, and she knocks on the door. When one of the servants answers, she orders him to have the staff prepare her rooms, but he doesn't know who she is. For someone who's supposed to be so smart, Valeria is so stupid. She knows she's in the past, before she was even born. So how does she expect the people at the Latverian embassy to know who she is? How does she expect Sue to accept her as her daughter, for that matter? She's just a little idiot. The servant mentions that Dr. Doom is missing, still missing since Heroes Reborn, and that Latveria has been taken over by a mutant called Strife. Valeria decides she needs to head off to Latveria to set the country free. But first, she comes across Absorbing Man and Titania, who are totally trashing the city, tearing up the street, tossing cars around, ripping out the water mains, and now the She-Hulk is awake and happy and working with Absorbo and Titania, like she's been mind-controlled or something. Titania screams out that they're not doing this for fun, they're doing it for publicity. I don't think it's going to be good publicity, though. Valeria tells the three of them to surrender or face the consequences, and when She-Hulk tries to punch her, Valeria puts up a force field. And then she starts to fight all three of them. Valeria versus She-Hulk, Absorbing Man, and Titania all at once. And she doesn't get killed. That's how powerful she is. She-Hulk calls her a runt and is about to drop a huge chunk of asphalt on Valeria's head when the Thing and Bounty show up. And the Thing knocks She-Hulk to the ground. Absorbing Man wraps his chain around Ben's throat, forcing his mouth open. And as Ben gasps for air, he pours a potion down the throat of Ben, who turns him into a mind-controlled slave, just like She-Hulk. Over with Bounty, she's fighting with Titania, when Ben comes over and smacks Bounty and forces some of that crap in her mouth, too, turning her into a slave. So now, Valeria looks up, and she's surrounded by Absorbing Man, Titania, She-Hulk, The Thing, and Bounty. Let's see her win that fight. But she doesn't have to, because the Invisible Woman arrives and pushes everyone out of the way, away from Valeria with a force field. And now, Absorbing Man absorbs the power of some steel, and he and his powers are going after Sue. Reed arrives and tries to calm down Valeria, who's starting to panic. The Human Torch shows up, along with Spider-Man. Considering the amount of damage being caused, you would think the Avengers would show up too. It must be their day off. But Reed tells Johnny and Spidey to stay back and let his wife handle this, which is highly out of character for Reed. Normally, he's overprotective of his wife, but here she is, fighting some of the toughest people in the Marvel Universe, and Reed's like, Oh, don't worry. She can handle it. So the fight continues, but we don't see the fight. We only see the reactions of Reed, Johnny, Spider-Man, and Valeria, who are cheering her on and applauding as she kicks all their asses. So after the fight is over, the cops arrive to shackle up everyone. No one seems concerned that Ben and She-Hulk were turned into mind-controlled slaves. Sue just mentions to Reed that he needs to figure out what it was that was used to put them under a spell. Spider-Man tells Sue that Valeria faced all those bad guys by herself, and she should be proud. And then he asks Sue, who is she? If Spider-Man doesn't even know who Valeria is, why is he telling Sue that she should be proud of her? It doesn't make any sense. That's the kind of thing you would tell a parent about his or her child, but as far as Spider-Man knows, Valeria is a complete stranger and is in no way related to Susan Richards. Sue tells him that Valeria is her name, and she and Reed go over to her and give her a hug and tell her that they're taking her back where she belongs. They're taking her home. If they want to take her back where she belongs, they should put her on that time machine and send her ass back to the distant future where she came from, like the year 2015. So that's the end of our regular issue, and this feels like the best place for the following. Welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 451, part 2, from 1999. Today it's Fantastic Four, annual 29, from 1999, The Keys to the Kingdom by Chris Claremont and LeDron. Yes, art by LeDron. I just looked this guy up. Real name is Jose LeDron. I hardly think he's famous enough to go by one name. He did a long run on Cable and a bunch of comic book covers. I don't know what his normal art style looks like, but here in the FF Annual, as much as possible, he's definitely trying to channel Jack Kirby, who was famous enough to go by one name. Jack. The story begins with the members of the Fantastic Four, along with Alyssa Moy, out on the Hudson River in Alyssa's new speedboat. Why can't it be Reed's boat? I was hoping to call it the Fantastaboat. But alas, it's the Alyssa boat. They're all smiling and having a great time, unlike the readers of this comic book, and over on a nearby dock, Valeria and Franklin were left behind with some dark-haired woman that Valeria calls Sandy. I guess that's Alessandi Stewart, the horrible nanny. And Valeria seems jealous that she didn't go out on the boat with them. If she's jealous, why doesn't she just go back to the future where she came from? I'm sure they have all kinds of fun things for her to do, like flying cars and supersonic boats. You know, realistic virtual reality systems where you can do anything you want. I'm sure they have it all in the distant future she comes from of the year 2015. Suddenly, the river goes crazy. There's giant waves. The sky is filled with fire and Kirby crackle. It's like a big bomb went off. Not a bomb as big as that movie, Fanforstic, but pretty big. In the sky, we can see the outline of some gigantic, magical being of some sort. Alessandi turns into her warrior self, Caledonia. Valeria springs into action, using a force field to protect the city from a giant wave. The FF and Alyssa come ashore on one of Sue's force fields. When they get out of the force field, Alyssa seems injured by the incident. Franklin tells his family about the man's image he saw in the sky, calling him a charcoal man. I remember when I was a kid, I once referred to a guy I saw as a charcoal man, and my mom spanked me. Ben picks up Alyssa, and they take her to the infirmary at the FF's warehouse headquarters. Reed runs a scan on Alyssa, and other than some bumps and bruises, nothing serious seems to be wrong with her, which leaves Reed confused as to why she's still unconscious. Next, Reed starts thinking about the blast that destroyed the boat and created that tidal wave. And then meanwhile, Johnny and Sue are sitting around waiting, and Johnny feels useless and says that even Franklin doesn't need him, since he has Valeria to entertain him now. He goes on to say that he still doesn't trust her since she claims to be the daughter of Dr. Doom. Sue says that she's won her over, and if anything happens to her, she will miss her almost as much as she would miss her own son. Now, if something would happen to her, I would miss her almost as much as I miss my wisdom teeth, which isn't very much at all. Reed comes in to explain what he's found, that the force that injured Alyssa, it seems to have been its purpose to attack Alyssa, was caused by magic. Valeria opens up her little mouth to say that she's learned something about Alyssa, by hacking into her online accounts and her home-based data net. What a nosy little bitch. Fortunately, Sue scolds her for the invasion of Alyssa's privacy, but Valeria doesn't seem concerned. She goes on to say that she learned that Alyssa has been doing some research into an organization called the Hellfire Club, and into one of its members, Celine, the Black Queen. Sounds like it could be the name of a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. But no, it's a mutant, a villain, enemy of the X-Men. Reed says he's familiar with the Hellfire Club. It's an organization where billionaires can indulge every whim and every desire. For example, if you were a rich inventor with a taste for teenage girls, I'm sure the Hellfire Club can help you out. I'm not going to say how Reed knows so much about the Hellfire Club. Reed says he needs help from someone who knows a thing about magic, so he calls up Agatha Harkness, but she doesn't answer. Next, he tries Avengers Mansion to get the Scarlet Witch, but Jarvis says that she and the Avengers are off on a mission. But he does suggest that Reed call Damon Hellstrom, a noted occult psychologist. Why doesn't Reed just call Doctor Strange first? That would be the first person I would call, especially since he doesn't live that far from FF headquarters. But they do call him next, and his manservant Wong says that the doc isn't home, and he recommends that the FF call Margali Sardos. Oh no. So back in Paris, early in the morning, some dude, Bruno Delore, tries to hit on this beautiful exotic woman he meets on the street, but she zaps him with some kind of device that sucks the soul out of his body, and she jars up his soul in a small bottle, leaving him a mindless zombie. This woman is Celine, the Black Queen. Coincidentally, she's in the same city as Margali Sardos. Meanwhile, at a special prison for sorcerers in Paris called La Citadelle, which is French for the Citadel, we learn that Bruno Delore is the chief warder for the day shift, and we see Margali Sardos, who has detected that someone is out there using a soul stealer. She's been held prisoner since the Ruined tried to use her to take over Paris. And the Fantastic Four have arrived, and Mr. Reno, the French policeman from that earlier story, is leading the FF into La Citadelle to meet with Margali Sardos. Now, is Mr. Reno a policeman or a prison guard? It seems odd that he would be the one to lead the FF through the prison. Just then, a whole bunch of prison guards, who clearly have had their souls stolen, start trying to shoot the FF, but Sue puts up a force field, and total chaos breaks out as some of the guards have the soul stealer guns, and Reed gets zapped, and he falls into the cell, holding, coincidentally, Margali Sardos, who notices that his soul is missing. I believe the gun was developed by the fine folks at Halliburton to help create Dick Cheney supporters. And then help arrives in the form of an armored superhero calling himself Mecha Mage. The zombified guards try to shoot Mecha Mage, but the bullets bounce off him. I assume it's a him, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a woman in that armor. You know, knowing Chris Claremont. And then someone tries to zap Mecha Mage with a soul stealer, but he blocks it with the screen of Sidrek. He detects the guard's souls have been stolen and replaced by demons. And then he starts tossing Chinese throwing stars and these other round discs at people, and the throwing stars help return all the members of the FF to normal, and the other disc, which are called the Solomon Seals, protect the FF from having their souls stolen again. And then Mecha Mage sees the guy with the soul-zapping gun, and his computers automatically fire at the guy, killing him. Much to Mecha Mage's surprise, he didn't plan to kill the guy. He was just some poor dude possessed by a demon. So Margali Sardos joins the FF in fighting off the rest of the demon-controlled guards, and Margali says there are systems in the prison that render her powerless, so Mecha Mage taps into the system, deactivates the safeguards, and Margali can now use her powers, which involves growing a set of ram horns on her head. It's kind of weird that the French have a whole separate prison for dealing with sorcerers. What do they have, like a big magic problem in France? So Margali teleports herself away, along with the Fantastic Four, to the dimension known as Limbo. Next, she teleports away with Ben and Reed, and a minute later they come back to Limbo holding Alyssa Moy. So later, they're examining Alyssa, and Margali explains that the explosion at the beginning of the issue took her soul away. And Johnny says, this all sounds bogus. Which is odd, considering all the crazy shit that they've seen since they've been in the Fantastic Four. Someone getting their soul taken doesn't sound all that out of the ordinary. They ask Mecha Mage if she has a cure for the soul-sapping virus, but he replies that something like this is out of his league. His league? Judging by his terrible costume, his league is the XFL. Johnny suggests they start looking back at the Hellfire Club, and Margali suggests they are facing the possible manifestation of a major diabolic entity on Earth. I doubt that. This is an annual, after all, so nothing major happens in an annual, at least not in the last 25 years. Margali suggests they contact Damon Hellstrom, and Mechamage chimes in and says that Alyssa Moy has been looking for him. Turns out Mechamage has been hacking into Alyssa's internet accounts, too. What a creep. So Alyssa's laying there, unconscious, and Ben puts his big, rocky hand right on top of Alyssa's boobs. She's unconscious. Who does he think he is? Bill Cosby? This gets my award for panel of the issue. Ben fondling Alyssa's boobs. And nobody says anything. No one's like, hey Ben, take your hand off Alyssa's boobs. Guess what they do instead? They all stack their hands on top of Ben's, one after the other, like they did back in issue one, and they pledge to find a way to save Alyssa. Later, Margali is practicing with Ben, using her magic to toss rocks at him, but he doesn't do so well when it comes to magic stuff. Margali compliments him by saying, your performance was exceptional, as are you. What? What? Don't tell me, but she's hitting on him too? First Bounty, now Margali. Why are all these beautiful women throwing themselves at Ben Grimm all of a sudden? A friggin' rock monster. If Chris Claremont wants to pair up beautiful women with ugly men, he should be working on a CBS sitcom. So the FF continue to do some training, fighting back against some of Margali's spells. And later, Johnny is taking a break, swimming in a river, wearing nothing but a pair of purple underwear. And then Johnny goes and he lays on his stomach in the grass. Who does that? Lays face down in a field of grass? It doesn't seem very comfortable. And then we see that dude, Mecha Mage, is spying on Johnny, and I think he likes what he sees. And then someone comes up behind Johnny and starts rubbing his back. Someone with very feminine hands. Johnny looks up and says he can't refuse a lady, and we see Mecha Mage's armor sitting nearby, empty. Yeah, I called it. I just knew it would end up being a woman. A beautiful woman, at that. Ugh, Chris Claremont is so predictable. So later, back in New York City, it's Halloween and there's a party at the Hellfire Club. Reed and a woman in a hood, not sure who she is yet, they enter the club. The woman is posing as Alyssa Moy, who is a billionaire and qualifies for membership. And I wonder, is Reed supposed to be undercover? You would think he would be very recognizable. There's a lot of people wearing masks and the party goers are led into this underground chamber under the club. It's a very Eyes Wide Shut vibe to this party so far. But unfortunately, it's not so much fun. I don't know if fun is the right word. Because Black Queen is downstairs, and she knows there are intruders, and she has to summon up the Charcoal Man from the beginning of the issue, who is a big demon from hell, Blackheart, son of Mephisto. The woman has to use her magic to protect Reed, and then Blackheart, sticks a bunch of demons on the two intruders. Reed and the woman flee, and the woman gets rid of her disguise, and it turns out to be Mecha Mage. She starts trying to use her magic to fight Blackheart. While Reed fights off some of the other smaller demons. And then the rest of the FF and Margali Sardos show up to join the fight. And during the fighting, Mecha Mage flies right into Blackheart's mouth and literally into the belly of the beast. And then Damon Hellstrom shows up. Where the hell did he come from? It's not really explained. He just shows up and he starts casting spells. And then he joins with Mecha Mage and Margali to cast a spell that finally defeats Blackheart, much to the chagrin of the Black Queen, who collapses to her knees, saying, no! No! So later, back at FF headquarters, Alyssa Moy has been cured and is back to normal, and the gang are saying goodbye to Hellstrom, Mecha Mage, and Margali. They call themselves the Shadow Hunters, and Margali detects a new threat, so they have to run, leaving the FF, and Reed, who says, "Wherever the Shadow Hunters roam, the Fantastic Four will ever wish them well." Ugh, what a horrible issue. It's hard to make heads or tails out of the plot of this issue. I guess the Black Queen was trying to steal people's souls? I suppose that's the plot of the book. I'm still confused as to where Hellstrom came from all of a sudden. He just kind of appeared near the climax of the story, as needed. This issue seems like a setup for a Shadow Hunters book that never happened. This was also the first appearance of Mecha Mage, and the last in the pages of the FF. She will appear a couple more times in the pages of Civil War Battle Damage Report? What a terrible name for a comic book that is! Civil War Battle Damage Report? And in Maximum Security number 3. The first thing I noticed when googling Mecha Mage is that before the character comes up, Mecha Mage also seems to be the name of a type of deck that you would have on your house. The weirdest thing I noticed is that someone actually created a Mecha Mage custom action figure. Maybe that was LeDron who created that. You know what? Compared to most of the other characters created during Claremont's run, Mecha Mage actually looks pretty interesting. The Kirby influence outfit kind of looks cool, and she's certainly a lot easier to recognize than most of the other new characters from the run, like Margali Sardos and Alessandri Stewart and Alyssa Moy. I can't tell them all apart. Maybe it's because, even though I'm not a huge fan of LeDron's art, I do like it better than Salvador LaRocca. So that's it for now. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes of iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.